Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And we're back, baby.
We're back. I'm so excited.
It honestly feels like forever since we've posted an episode, but it's only been like 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's really not been a long time at all.
But I guess I didn't realize just how much time pod takes in my life, because I was like, what do I do with all this extra time? I guess I'll like dedicate it to my job.
Nancy, has absence made the heart grow fonder?
Yeah, in a big, big way. Like, I'm so excited to be doing this again.
Oh my God, me too. And if you haven't listened since Top Chef, definitely go back and recap our summer blockbuster series. We had a bunch of fun guests on. We watched some glorious summer hits and just foodie flicks in general. Mm-hmm. We watched some new movies, some like never before seen for either of us, which was very fun. But Nancy, it is time for our off-season bonanza, which is to say, it's GBBO season.
Oh my God, I didn't think the day would come, and then it did. And they're always so sneaky with it too, like when it launches, they're super hush-hush until like the day before, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, full season. Back. Although I guess they call them series.
I guess they just know that you're probably not like counting down the days, and it's sort of like, okay, nice. Like, I don't have any plans on Sunday. Perfect. I know what I'm watching. So they just need to like nudge you just a little bit. But all that to say is, are we about to devote multiple hours and in-depth analysis to it regardless? You betcha.
I mean, come where the weather is unpredictable and the winds never blow right, we are in the bake-off tent in Great Britain. I'm so
and it is hot to be here. I'm like, is it only hot when they're filming Great British Bake Off?
It's always unseasonably warm. Yeah. Once again, my first judgy table of our Great British Bake Off season last year was like, I don't need the elements as the weather as a part of Great British Bake Off. But yet they did not listen to our feedback. I wonder why. It's almost as if they don't listen to our podcast.
Rude. Yeah. Where's the Baked Alaskas? Am I right?
Oh, they did that once and it was absolute chaos.
I love it. Well,
I love it.
Before we wax too poetically, we got to talk about this episode. So we are kicking things off. It's episode one. For those that maybe didn't listen last time, this is our second time covering GBBO. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say we are both like pretty big GBBO fans. It obviously scratches a different itch for us.
Yes.
So you'll probably notice that our commentary will take a slightly different flavor. Dare I say more relaxed? Dare we say a little more critical?
Perhaps more candid. I know the irony that like Top Chef, which is a show about elite competition, and we're like, no, we love everyone.
Yeah.
And then Great British Bake Off, where they're all like smiling, clapping each other.
Yeah, like, move out of the way, Grandma, you're out of here.
I don't know what it is about Great British Bake Off, but like my inner American really comes out. Like it's my Texas football, I think.
Yo, it is Friday Night Lights up in here.
Well, speaking of which, episodes release on Netflix every Friday night. We were not paid to say that. But Bits, let's begin.
Woo! Okay, Nancy. A moose boosh reaction.
No. I haven't heard you say that in a month.
I'm so I know. Excited. Well, I was wait, is that right? That's right, right? Okay.
Okay, also something to note, everyone, that Bits has taken a second trip to Italy since last you saw her. I was talking to my mom today, and she was like, oh, you're recording pod. Like, why haven't you been doing it? And I said, well, Bits was in Italy. And she goes, again?
You betcha. Yes, I went to Italy. I was in Tuscany. It was amazing. And you know what? It's interesting. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Other updates include, Nancy is aware of this, I've had a real journey with a show I don't know if anybody watches in the UK, Channel 4, called Peep. Not Peep Show. That's also a very good British show. Mm-hmm. Gogglebox. And I have a really new appreciation for GBBO in the context of Gogglebox. I feel like I have a more rounded understanding of like just general British broadcasting. So anyways, needless to say, I'm positively chuffed.
Are you watching GBBO via Gogglebox? Is that what you're saying?
No. That would be crazy though. I guess I could do, I have done that. Like I've seen like clips of it, but they never show you enough. For context, Gogglebox is the show in the UK where you literally watch, it's like the OG Twitch. Like you watch people watch television, but it's the same cast of characters. And it's just, you're watching people in their homes with their friends, like watching clips of TV. And it's so hard to describe what makes it magic, but like, just go watch it, please. Well, download a VPN and then you have to go watch it. Yeah. It's actually pretty involved to watch it. So maybe don't watch it. It's
pretty hard. Well, okay. Speaking of magic, I think something that before we even do like a Moose Bouche, I was jolted back to reality when I remember that every episode of Bake Off has like a very campy opening segment.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We need to evaluate that each
episode. We need to talk about it every single episode. And this one, I was laughing because you and I had an incredibly long conversation about Jurassic Park this summer. Yeah.
About how you've never seen it. I was talking about how I saw the like 10th Jurassic Park or something recently. And you're like,
hold on, excuse me. We were on a 2.5 hour drive together, just the two of us. And Bits told me that she saw the new Jurassic Park, and I said, you know, I've never actually seen Jurassic Park. And she proceeded to explain the plot of every single Jurassic Park movie to me.
I mean, in my defense, they're literally, it's the same plot always. So that helps. That gets us like 80% of the way there. But I know. I will say, I mean, you probably know what the old guy in Jurassic Park looks like, but
I do even, not.
Oh, okay. Prue looked exactly like the old man. Google him right now. I want to see a reaction.
Okay, I'm Googling it. Old man in Jurassic Park. I mean, that is some good hair and makeup.
Uncanny. Yeah, it was crazy. So, okay, on a scale of like, you know, 1 to 10, I think this intro segment was actually like pretty high up there for me. Like, it was campy and goofy, but it was like,
we need to create a scale.
Tight. Yeah, I know.
Maybe it's like from, what's a bake that's like really annoying? Or like maybe from 1 to 10 handshakes.
Okay.
Or,
I give this like 8 handshakes.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you explain to me what the deal was with the two dinosaurs? Like, is that a plot point from Jurassic Park that there are two?
No.
I was reading too much into it.
Yeah, you're definitely reading too much into it. The joke was just that, like, it wasn't Paul. But, yeah, everything else, yeah, no, that was it. But there is, like, that whole scene, that is a scene, like, in the movie.
Okay.
No more spoilers, though, because, you know, the movie hasn't been out for 50 years or anything.
All I know is that Jeff Goldblum is in it shirtless at one point.
True, yeah. Yeah, he is. But
okay. Now, after we've awarded the number of Paul Hollywood handshakes to the opening, we can do our amuse bouche.
Love it. So, what are your initial – look, amuse bouche, we're on episode 1 of a new season. I feel like the amuse bouche needs to be just like, what's your high-level reaction to the contestants? Like, what vibe are you walking away with? How are you feeling
about this?
That's
a great question. The contestants on the whole seem – okay, I don't know how to put this, but there seem to be multiple of the same archetype this year. Normally, there's sort of one of everything.
Yeah, we have no little kid geniuses. We have no, like,
no, like,
boy geniuses.
Rambunctious teenagers.
Yeah, like, who are super nerdy.
But we do have, like, a few lads, which I love the lads. They're my favorite genre of bake-off contestant because they're either really good or not.
Yes.
And then we've got the like type A, like best student in the class archetype. We have a few of those. We've got a few gays. We love the gays.
Yes, indeed.
And then like we don't – what? I mean, we have a drag king.
We've got a – that's a new one. We have two drag kings if you count Prue in the Jurassic Park segment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we need to wait to get to the drag king because that was such a bomb drop. But what is your amuse-bouche?
Yeah, I my first reaction, especially while taking notes, was like, wow, thank God we only have 12 contestants and not whatever we usually have with Top Chef.
Like 16.
Yeah, I thought I was – I felt like the age distribution this season is a lot narrower in terms of range.
Yeah,
I felt like I was watching more is it fair to say contemporaries? Like,
yeah,
you know –
Something that I'd also like to say is I actually just finished this summer season of Love Island UK today. Mm. And spoiler alert, they had the first American contestant on Love Island UK this year.
Oh,
and
wow.
She won. She took the whole thing, which is incredible. And it reminded me that last season we had that American guy, Frank, I think his name was.
Yeah, he was here for like half an hour.
And he was here. Yeah, and then he bowed out. But at first I thought like, oh, do you need to be a UK citizen to be on UK reality TV? But Love Island has proven that you do not. And so I would like a token American on every season of Great British Bake Off.
Mm, it's sort of like when people make that joke about the Olympics, like I need a normal person.
Yes.
Like competing alongside so I have some frame of reference. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or like a Jim Halpert type, like, you know, breaking the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sorry, one sec, Bits. Edit from here. Would you mind just like putting your head more in the center of the camera? Cause like when I cut these clips, it's gonna be insane. Like I'm getting half of, yeah. Okay. I don't know. You have no neck. I might leave this in.
Yeah, that's okay.
Reader reveal. Bits is, I knew this. I knew she was gonna be horizontal, but I didn't realize like that she'd look like Hodor's bride right now.
I am fully laid down.
Okay.
I'm so, yeah. I'm delirious with fatigue from my travels.
Well then let's get into the show. Yes. The bakes. The signature. We have one of my favorite signature first cake week challenges, which is the Swiss roll.
Swiss roll.
Swiss roll. What are your thoughts on this? Have you ever had a Swiss roll?
No, and I don't think I will.
Thanks. Do you anticipate a moment in which you are offered a Swiss roll and decline?
No, to be honest, like I feel like you really only come across Swiss rolls here, like in the grocery store section.
Yeah.
Like a bakery.
Like those little like Hostess cakes.
Yeah. What about you? Are you a fan of the challenge or the baked good?
I don't think I've ever had – actually, that's not true. When I lived in London, I had Connor the Caterpillar. Shout out to our UK fans. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Hey.
Connor the Caterpillar is essentially like the Fudgy the Whale / Cookie Puss of the UK.
Wow.
It is a Swiss roll chocolate cake with vanilla frosting inside. And then actually, they had to make it on one of the Bake Off technicals. It was either last year or the year before.
Sorry, what is a chocolate puss? What do you call it?
Cookie Puss?
I've never heard of a cookie puss.
What?
No, I don't know what that is.
Are you American?
I've literally never heard those two words put
together. The Carvel Ice Cream Company has two signature ice cream cakes. Fudgy the Whale. Have you heard of Fudgy the Whale?
No, I don't know their like name. I don't know their cake names. I've had ice cream cakes, but I've never like referred to them.
You've
by
never
their
had a Fudgy the
name.
Whale? Bits? I am literally
is
showing
like
up to your
character?
Apartment with
like a cake
it's a cake.
Shape?
It's a chocolate cake in the shape of a whale and its name is Fudgy. And the Carvel Ice Cream Corporation has created a mascot of Fudgy the Whale, which, you know, is my favorite genre on the internet.
Wow.
Mascots getting stuck in doorways.
Yeah.
And Fudgy sometimes gets stuck in the doorway.
Oh my God.
I'm going to send you some Fudgy the Whale content.
Okay,
so Fudgy the Whale is a chocolate ice cream cake that has all those good little cookies, you know, the little cookie crumblies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's in the shape of a whale and has a smiley face, and his name is Fudgy. Cookie Puss is a clown ice cream cake. And it is like, I'm going to find a photo for you. Cookie Puss is like, it's sort of in the shape of like a guitar. And then it has a cone for a nose and an ice cream scoop at the bottom and then two ice cream scoop eyes.
I think I know this.
Cookie Puss. We have really digressed. I would love to see a Great British Bake Off technical of Cookie Puss. This is Cookie Puss.
Whoa. Okay. That's not what I expected. And I have not seen that before.
And you can pick what flavor of ice cream's at the bottom of the cone.
Whoa. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, fingers crossed for that. Let's talk about some of the Swiss rolls that we saw this episode. Okay. You know, we're early on. Oftentimes the critique is very soft. It's mm-hmm. basically like if your cake isn't like disintegrating in front of their very eyes, you're probably good.
In ep one. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. For me, there were some standouts for sure. We had Ian, who rocked a crazy Oxford. I wrote decal. I forgot the word.
No, I don't think it was Oxford. I think it was.
Yeah, what was the university?
Is it like Queen's College? I don't know. I do not really understand the British university system.
I know. Crazy.
I'm making a damn fool of myself right
university
now.
University decal. But it looked insane. This was after, by the way, we saw his bread with Paul's likeness on it, which was also insane.
That they just breezed right over.
Yeah. They do it that, though. Beautiful. They do that with their backstories, which I find fascinating.
Yeah.
What was, like, first knee-jerk reaction to what you saw in the Swiss roll round?
I was really impressed with the inlays. Like,
yeah.
I understand that's probably not, like, the most advanced thing or the most advanced skill set, but I was pretty, as I said, impressed.
Yeah.
I thought that they did some beautiful things. I mean, that, like, landscape of the college building with the sky and the clouds was out of control. But we also saw some really beautiful things. Like Aaron immediately stood out to me with his beehive, his hexagon pattern.
Yeah, his was awesome.
First off, I mean, I understand it was perhaps a simple quote unquote design. I could never do it myself, but he has the demeanor of a winner to me. Like he is humble,
quiet, confident.
He's competent.
Yeah.
And I just liked the bumblebee vibe.
Yeah. He didn't get a ton of airtime this ep, but I think that they're burying the lead because I agree with you. I got a similar read and just his precision. Yeah. Somebody else who really kind of like wowed me in that regard. I mean, Tom, of course, he had the like tartan.
Oh, my God. That was gorgeous.
It looked
like Christmas.
Yeah, it was stunning. And then I want to have like an – maybe not an honorable mention for Toby, but I do love there was some pretty funny banter this episode. Like I kind of actually thought that I'm so far enjoying the like host's presence, which is not always the case.
Yeah. Well, we haven't gotten into like the later parts of the season where it's like, please stop.
Yeah. 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 Please go away and don't knock that over. I did like really enjoy the minor side conversation we had around whether or not Toby could beat the shit out of Noel. Like, what was that?
He was like, yeah, I'm
I feel
pretty
confident
sure I
if it was Noel. Yeah.
I would like to see that. Well, okay. So something that you mentioned, to me, there were two elements of this episode that sort of harkened back to last season and were perhaps a reaction to last season. The first is that I got a bit of like PTSD head twitching when Noel started messing around in the kitchen and he touched Aaron's sponge. I was like, do not touch that, Noel. Remember when he messed with Nellie's thing and then it ended up being like a key component of her dish? That to me, I feel like Noel and Allison got a bit of a speaking to about how much they can really interfere with the bake. So that was number one. And number two, to your first point, actually, I think that they are a little more reserved with their praise this season, because I think they got critiqued, rightfully so, for being a bit loose with the handshakes last season.
Yes, like Paul was giving them out buttoned up.
Paul was giving out
handshakes. Put that thing in your pocket.
Yeah. I mean, and they gave it to that woman who I ended up not liking. It went right to her head. What was her name?
I don't remember. I don't even you said Nellie and I remembered Nellie. You know, I like don't remember a thing about last year. But yeah, I think you're actually right. It didn't occur to me at the time, but there's something a little bit more subdued, I would say, about the vibe, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's a little something that I think Bake Off can struggle with at times because it's like essentially a show for theater kids, is like it can be a bit self-referential.
Yes.
And they weren't doing that so much this episode, and I was happy. Like, it's a little too much when – and even Top Chef falls into this category sometimes. Yeah, yeah, like, when they do the risotto.
I mean, you're around for that long, and I mean, I don't know. One thing I will say that I love about this show, which I think we've arrived at the moment that we can talk about all of our clothes off.
Oh, thank God we've arrived.
Just the vignettes we get into these people's personal lives. So we'll get to predictions at the end of this episode. But mm-hmm. of course, one of our predictions we did this last season and we had planned to do it this season was like predicting the craziest hobby that a mm-hmm. contestant has, because there's always one that has something that's completely out there. And we didn't even have to guess this time because
episode
Jessica
one
came right out of the gate with all of her clothes off drag king. And I, in that moment, realized like I didn't have never even given a thought to whether drag kings exist.
This was so out of left field to be her very first fact. It makes me wonder.
Also, like, I thought we were going to hear like, "And I'm a twin."
I mean, we did get like Aaron has a sibling whom he bakes with. Like, that was Aaron's fun fact. Yeah. He has a sister. And then we get all of her clothes off right away. Also, like, the funniest thing about it to me was that they had to go and do a special shoot with all of her clothes off before they started filming Bake Off. So, like, the clip that we saw of all of her clothes off was a staged clip with the Great British Bake Off film crew.
Yeah.
Right. I could not stop laughing.
They moved right on. It'd be hilarious if she just like made up this character, like found out she was going on GBBO and she's like, what is just the like most random thing that I could just show up and say I do? That's the story I'm going to tell myself on that one.
What would yours be? What's the most random hobby you would think of?
Oh. I mean, I don't, this isn't funny or interesting, but like my mind went to like plate spinning.
that happened on Love Island this season.
Really? There was plate spinning?
There was plate spinning.
See, it's not even that unique. What about you?
If I got cast on Great British Bake Off and decided to just fabricate a hobby, I think it would be like grave digging or something. And I'd make them come with me to a graveyard or like a cemetery and just film me like exhuming.
No, you have to, you do it. You add like, take to yes and that idea. You're a grave digger for like scientists at universities. Like we're talking like Victorian London, digging up bodies to like do research.
Or like, what if your hobby, like I'm a tomb raider in Egypt and I like steal the stuff. Like, and I'm doing it in an illegal way. Like,
my
not
hobby
in
is
up
I'm
way.
Laura Croft tomb raider.
Okay, we have to talk about the food in the episode. You have to understand that Fitz and I haven't seen each other for 2 weeks. This is our very first conversation.
It is, yeah. There's the pipes are pretty backed up. Okay, well, speaking of this more subdued point of view, the judges kind of like pulling back a bit. Mm-hmm. We had the technical this episode. So yes. Technical, they had to make 9 perfectly decorated fondant fancies.
Fondant fancy.
But twist alert, because this technical, they were given a few red herring ingredients and a final product that they were able to taste and had to basically reverse engineer the flavor and the bake. Nancy, thoughts on this technical?
I loved it, and it was diabolical.
I completely agree. I can't believe we haven't done this yet.
I cannot believe that we haven't done it. I'm sure that they've done it like once or something, but to do it episode one, insane, but I appreciate that they're trying to shake it up Top Chef style. I couldn't get over this. Like, I was just stunned. Also, the name Fondant Fancy is just
love it.
So silly.
And I love that. I love, who was it?
Jasmine, I think,
was like, I just said, I hope they're not fondant fancies. I'm like, the fact that that even crossed your mind, like, I don't think we've ever seen this on this show ever.
Ever.
I don't think
I've
ever
heard of this.
Yeah.
A lot of times I haven't heard of the bake, and like, you know that it's from some obscure cookbook from like the 1800s.
Yes.
Fondant fancy seems completely made up to me.
Yeah, agree. I mean, but they're all like grumbling. I mean, I didn't know what Puss Man or whatever.
Cookie Puss. Do not
Cookie Puss
use his name in vain.
I didn't know what that was. So, I mean, it just goes to show like there's an infinite amount of dessert. Okay. Across the board, I mean, there wasn't a ton of excellent showing here.
No.
And I'm personally very glad, to your earlier point, that the judges were honest about it. And
yeah.
Like, kind of just were like, almond. So the issue was that all of these people put almond flour, like put ground almonds in the batter, and it just sort of like made everything super claggy. Some people just like fully guessed the wrong flavor.
Yeah.
Was it Sue Pin? I forget. We got to like learn a whole cast of characters again.
I know. I think her name is, Carol Puyman Lee.
Puyman. Okay. Put in rosewater flavoring.
Yeah. This harkens back to what I think is a fan favorite Top Chef and one of my favorite Top Chef challenges, which is the blind taste test.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is, it's really interesting when you have amateurs do it. And for those who listen during the regular Top Chef season, something you know about me is I love seeing experts doing the thing that they are experts at.
Yeah.
And with Top Chef, that is identifying flavors. It is so deeply entertaining to me to see people have a mystery and try to solve it.
Yes, completely.
And this
agree.
Really scratched that itch. I loved it.
I loved it. I super fun. Nobody really, I mean, I think basically Toby won by default.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, they even said that. Like, everyone cheered. Yeah, stop Paul clapping. Was like, do not applaud him. His was shit.
Yeah. I was like, okay, Paul. Mr. 20 handshakes per season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Not a ton of remarkable stuff happening there. The Showstopper, however.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about in the Showstopper.
Showstopper, I will say, like, okay. Showstopper this week, the contestants needed to make a landscape cake. Again, is this anything that you've ever heard of?
No, this Showstopper felt a little phoned in to me.
Okay, yes.
Because, like, that's not a thing. And
but he's treating it like it is. It's like,
yes.
Well, we get this critique later on, not to, like, spoil it, but it's like, well, we were looking for more of a landscape cake, not, like, a tiered cake. I'm like, what even are you saying?
Yeah, it was cuckoo bananas. And, like, you could also see that it was interpreted in different ways because yes. It is not a thing.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Like, well, this was another thing to me. So when this sequence started, I was like, oh, this is fun because, like, you know, and we kick it off with Leighton, who was doing some, like, random place in the UK, which I've never heard of. I was like, oh, wow, we're going to get, like, a ton of just, like, different nooks and crannies of the UK. This will be kind of like a fun thing. And then, yeah, people took it in a ton of different directions. I found on the whole the critique, and I think maybe we can chat specifics, but on the whole, I found it a little bit difficult to track their objective reasoning when it came to the presentation of the cakes.
Yeah.
Because we had – I'm like, I'm looking at a lot of piles of dirt, it seems. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. A lot of piles of dirt with, like, pistachio soil.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I say that, and this did apply to Natalia's. However, I think hers actually had the sort of – I think hers actually had enough
hers
of a –
hers was geologically accurate
yes.
to the place that she
yes.
made.
And it was, like,
she essentially made a 3D
enough, like,
map.
Her textures, they made sense. It was, like – it felt more high art than I think some of the other
yes.
ones, where it was like, you know, you had Leslie kind of just like paint something on. Somebody else I felt bad for Aaron, I think, because he.
Yeah. He just kind of ran out of time.
Yeah. And his decor wasn't like demonstrably worse than Leslie's. So when she gets up there and they're like, wow, this looks great. I'm like, okay, it doesn't look
yeah.
that different.
Someone we need to talk about this episode though, in this category, is Hassan, who unfortunately,
ugh, I know,
struck out three times.
Sucks.
Spoiler alert. He does get sent home at the end of this episode, but like, let's start at the beginning. His Swiss roll. That was difficult to watch.
Yeah.
when he was just like manhandling it onto.
See, that's the thing with Cake Week with me, like all the manhandling. Like, I don't want to have a bite of any of this stuff. Then the amount that it's getting just worked and touched, and yeah.
It's a really good point. I didn't think about it. Like when they were like, and now I'm going to start carving, and they just go,
yeah,
and just like start hacking away at this cake. Did you ever watch that show on the Food Network? What was it called? It had a really punny name. His name was Duff, and he was from Baltimore, and he had like this crazy cake workshop where they would make these insane cakes that were essentially just statues made out of cake.
Oh my God. No, I didn't watch that. That's nuts.
I will look it up and find. I'll leftover that. But yeah, it was really wild to see them just getting all up in that cake. I mean, I think to finish the thread on Hassan, he actually improved in each challenge from the disaster that was his Swiss roll in the signature. But unfortunately did not improve enough to the point where we got to the showstopper. It was sort of his last ditch effort to stay in the game. And they were a bit underwhelmed by his bamboo forest.
Yeah. It's a shame. I think Leighton was also kind of, you know, bringing up the rear this episode. Mm-hmm. I had pretty high hopes for him because I thought his inlay and the signature looked so beautiful. He did this like lemon motif, and I thought just the shading, it looks like a painting. But he had back-to-back kind of like clunker cakes, mm-hmm. claggy dough or claggy batter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But so, I think that the equivalent of Hassan's falling apart Swiss roll came at the hands of Ian, I think his mm-hmm. name is.
Yeah.
The little dude with the mustache who did the incredible Swiss roll. So he was making – like a cliffside, onto a beach, and it just completely fell apart. And it, to your point, like, are we looking at a pile of dirt?
Yeah, I'm like, this kind of still looks bad. And they're like, this looks amazing, so creative. I was like, hi.
Also, everyone was way nicer to him about his disaster than they were to Hassan in the first one. And I think Hassan needed way more support from the group.
Yeah.
Justice for Hassan. I think he was iced out. Hassan.
A lot of the cakes had that look of when you ice cakes and they're too warm and it kind of like pulls up the crumb.
Yeah.
And it gets a little messy. That's the vibe I had. But yes. Okay. We kind of talked about Natalia being in the top. She was pretty solid all up.
Someone I want to talk about is Jasmine.
Yes, let's talk about Jasmine because I also feel like she had a really clean aesthetic. She was the one that heard the feedback on, like, we weren't looking for like a tiered whatever that was.
I'm just going to fully disregard that feedback on her. I have one word to describe Jasmine for the whole season, and it is precision.
Yeah.
This woman is in med school.
Toy.
She deals in science. She deals in facts. And I think we're going to see that coming through in her cakes. I think she's one to watch.
Yes.
We'll get to that with predictions. But I want to give her her moment as we talk about this episode because she made a gorgeous Swiss roll with candied lemons adorning
a
beautiful pink Swiss roll. Loved that. And then I thought that her showstopper was quite pretty. I mean, considering a landscape cake is not a thing, I thought it was nice and gave the essence of landscape. So, you know, she deserves some praise.
Agree. Hard agree. I agree. She's one to watch. Other folks to watch, I think to me, Natalia, mm-hmm. for sure. I would maybe put Jessica in that category. I'd put Tom in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Toby is a little bit of a maverick at the moment. You know, could kind of go either way.
Yeah, I will say about Tom, I think Tom is gonna be this season's Christian.
Yes,
like impeccable taste,
always a bridesmaid,
never the bride. And that's all I have to say. We're gonna see some funky things out of him, I think. But you know, we're getting so much into ones to watch. Why don't we talk
ones
about
to
our
avoid
why don't we talk about our predictions for this season?
Yes, I love our GBBO predictions.
Love.
Oh my God. Okay. So, dear listeners, we've got, I don't know, 8-10 predictions here. We'll run down the list. Nancy and I have both submitted our respective predictions for each of these illustrious categories. Nancy, kick it off with our first prediction.
Okay, bits. First category. And again, we have to remind you that for some reason, there's something inside us that makes us just be really mean when it comes to Bake Off and very nice when it comes to Top Chef. So for our first category, flavor incredible, but usually looks like shit. Who do we have?
I put Jessica for this one. I think she's got a good feel for the flavor, but I don't know if she's going to have the
Here's why I don't agree. The woman is a drag king. Like, she puts on facade and performance for a living.
So true.
I think we're going to see some good stuff out of her.
But will she be one of those people that time gets the best of her?
I think you might be right. I have for this category Nadia, our Italian lady.
Okay, yes.
I think that she is going to make things that are just, like, good and objectively good. I mean, she's Italian. Italian cuisine is incredible and all their treats, everything.
Yeah.
It looks like she's got a real homey flair to her, but I think she's not going to have the polish of a Jasmine, say.
Love it. on the other side of the coin of this category, it looks incredible, but the flavor is never right. Who do you have for this one?
I put Aaron for this one.
Okay. I also put Aaron.
You did. Actually, you know what I think? I might want to do I want to change this? Because we saw Jasmine, or maybe it was Jessica, doing something with like black pepper and a white chocolate ganache, which was offensive to me.
I think that's reasonable. Would you like to update your...
I'd like to update my entry to Jessica. Okay. Thank you.
I think I'm being unfair to Aaron, but I think to me it's a backhanded compliment of like, I think he's going to always have a toy presentation.
Toy. Yeah.
But he I think is going to be one of those people, and maybe this applies to someone like Tom as well, where it's they're not afraid to be they are not afraid to be experimental, and so we may see that come back to bite them.
So true. Okay, next category, one of the all-time favorites. Most likely to forget to preheat their oven. Who do you have in this category? Oof. Whom do you have? Sorry, Dad.
Whomst? I am going to say Pui Mon.
Oh, I could see that. I could see that. I put Leslie on this one.
Yep, I can see that too. I think they're both like equally like locked in. I tend to like think the people that are really like locked in, focused, and really know their stuff are the ones that sometimes are like the most prone to just like simple error.
Oh, see, I was gonna say neither of those women gives me locked in. Both of those give me like potential to be flustered.
Okay. Flustered could be good. That's fair. That's fair. Let's see where that goes.
Also in that category, by the way, Leighton.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Out there.
I can see that. Okay, next category, most likely to think the hosts aren't funny. And that would be Allison and Noel.
We already saw one this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going with Toby. I'm going with the easy one because he said he could beat up Noel, no problem.
Mine is Tom, just because he's too classy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's like lowbrow enough to find that funny. Although yeah. Allison Hammond, for some reason, like supercuts of Allison Hammond making her interview guests laugh keep coming up on my feeds. And I think that she can really crack a smile out of anyone.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful woman inside and out.
I love that. That's so nice of
But
you.
I do think it's going to be Tom. He's going to have no patience for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's going to be Noel. It's not going to be her fault.
Yep. Okay, Bits, this is a big one. First handshake.
Ooh, Natalia.
Yeah, after this week's performance, that's a really good answer.
It's a safe bet. It's the conservative bet, but.
But I think, you know, she's trending in that direction. I have Jasmine for this category, as I sort of waxed a bit earlier. But I think she just has the dedication to the task that could yield a handshake.
Yes. And we should say, yeah, Natalia won this episode. Jasmine came with the three-tiered cake. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's probably unfair to assume people know these people's names since we also were like, what? Who's that?
Who is that?
Okay. Most likely to be the best at the technical challenges.
So we didn't really get a stunning display of technical baking at all.
Yeah.
This episode. So I actually don't. This, I think, is going to be the loosiest, goosiest prediction of the list. I have Aaron here. I just like his vibe.
Yep. I'm going to go with Ian, actually.
Oh, that was good.
Because he put Paul's face on that bread, and that's crazy.
In the same vein, most likely to be the best at the showstopper. Who are we going to see crazy things from?
I put Tom. I put Tom for similar reasons that maybe we've already discussed, which is like, I think he's just going to have a really precise, if he's showing up as like this season's Christian, that's what I would expect from him.
I mean, I'll never forget that cake from Christian last season where he did, it almost looked like a Mondrian. Like it was a very geometric design. It's gorgeous. For this, I have Ian just because he pulled out some insane shit in the signature this episode, let alone reasonable. Showstopper. So I think we're going to see good stuff from him.
Reasonable. Most likely to have an absurd hobby.
This one's done and dusted.
Done and dusted, Jessica. Do we have any other predictions here?
Yeah, I think besides Oliver Clothes Off.
I love that name.
So funny. I think we could see some weird stuff coming out of Leighton.
I think I could see some kooky stuff coming out of Ian.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
But let's see where that takes us. How many Paul Hollywood handshakes do you think we're getting?
Oh, okay. There are 10 episodes. We're already through episode one without a handshake. I'm going to say 5.
Okay. That's a reasonable one. I put 8. Is that insane?
It's essentially saying there's going to be one in episode from here on out.
Yeah. Or like doubled up. Yeah, that might be too, that might be too high.
Well, it's in stone and you can't change your answer. Sorry.
I know it is.
Okay, and then finally, the trend that we saw most last season, the use of orange in bakes.
So
how many
orange
bakes are we going to get? No, we've already had one this episode from Tom.
Okay, I'm going 7.
See, I think we've now flipped from, you went really heavy on the handshakes. I'm going heavy on orange. I'm saying 12.
I don't know. I feel like lemon is the citrus this season.
I hope so. You know, I love lemon.
I know. So much better. So much better. So, you know, may the best fruit and citrus win. But that rounds us out. Who prediction to win it all, Nancy? Where is your head at?
I think I'm maybe a bit bullish on this, but I'm picking Jasmine.
Love it.
And I will say nothing else. What about you?
I'm picking Natalia. And I will say nothing else. She's somebody I want to root for both of these women. So I'm excited by our choices here.
Yes.
And what a season we have ahead of us. I know.
Do you have a judgy table perchance?
Jeez, I really don't.
That's fine. We can save judgy table for ep 2.
Let's do it. I need to know these people more before I judge them. I mean, we did just spend all episode judging them, but
yeah, like in kind of rude ways too.
Judgy table us. We need to go to bed.
Yeah, totally. Well, speaking of which, it is past our bedtime. So listeners, stay tuned for our coverage of this season of The Great British Bake Off. We have a lot of fun in store. Maybe some special guests. Who knows? I don't. And I can make no promises. And, you know, we'll see you next week for episode 2.
Bye-bye.
Bye.